This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Both have great like black frame glasses right now, and I'm deeply jealous because my eyesight is so bad that when I wear my glasses I look like a real Poindexter you'd push down the stairs.
I'll send you a link. Like,
they're just two Coke bottles. It's bad.
I buy a bunch of like super cheap ones because like once fashion went from here,
I would just be wearing, I would have to just wear see-through frames, which feels like I'm playing pretend, which I don't know if I can handle.
Look at me.
These are kind of pretendies. These are just blue light glasses.
Oh, okay.
Well, for the computer, because
if they have some purpose,
at the Marios all day.
Yeah.
If they had some purpose, I'd feel okay.
They're serving a purpose.
Yeah, I think they are, actually. I think
these are blue light and prescription, and they're great.
Every once in a while, I walk outside wearing them, and I'm like, okay, now you're just hoping somebody will ask you trivia about something.
That guy looks like he knows about the Simpsons seasons.
I mean,
yeah. 9, 10, and 11.
The sun can't be any worse, any like less bad for you than screens. Like, what
yeah,
is the sun?
Absolutely.
Truly. A big round screen.
The sun? Yeah. The sun is the greatest screen of all.
Yeah. When you think about it.
The sun is way too antagonistic for us to have developed on the surface of the earth. It is constantly like coming at people and like overheating people. The sun slew a family of three in the mountains just outside of Los Angeles who went for a hike.
So we'd take
it
seriously.
Down.
That's what they get for their hubris.
The sun was sending a message.
The sun was like, y'all.
I like describing any outdoor activity as, I'm going to go challenge the sun. I'm going to go see.
I'm a freckly person, so true.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to go see how long I can withstand it. Folks, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us this week, the very hilarious Allison Mick is here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Welcome to the island. The beautiful, the island. It's springtime on the island, so
I love
the flowers
what you guys
are
have
at
done
their
with
most combative. And the muscular butterflies are trying to punch everybody.
The flowers
the
are out, challenging the sun.
Challenging the sun, precisely. We're not fighting. The sun or any of those things that we've talked about today so far. We are, in fact, we're taking it back to the kitchen. We're gonna fight fictional chefs. So chefs from pop culture, chefs, I would say even, you know, there was a Chef Boyardee, but come into the fold, Chef Boyardee, you have been elevated to the pantheon of, you know, memery. And I think that makes, like
Guy he became Fieri, a fictional person. I think that works.
Guy Fieri, my man is fictional. He is a current working celebrity chef. But he's been elevated.
Kids 50 years from now are going to be like, yeah, my grandma talked about Guy Fieri, but it's just, he's just the brand of food. It's not, he wasn't a real guy.
That's not a real person. Look at his hair. That guy
that's
can't
just
exist.
That's just what you talk about when something tastes like both barbecue and nacho.
Yeah, it's going to become a flavor. Like in the future, it'll be, or like an ethos of food, like Fierianism. That's just pure Fierianism. Eating cheese on marshmallows, come on.
Rastafarianism?
Nobody should. Yeah. Rastafarianism?
Pastafarianism.
This level of wordplay is out of hand. I don't care for it.
We're off to if a we good keep start doing it, I'm
beep, boop, boop, boop.
So, for any Allison heads just joining the pod, this is what's about to happen. We do a big, it's a big game of who would win in a fight between. We do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight round. And it's kind of, those are kind of classified more, less on the actual weight of the fighter and more on kind of their impact in your cultural impact, impact in our lives. We like to say that if we were fighting like Seinfeld characters, like a lightweight fight would be like the Soup Nazi versus Jay Peterman, and then heavyweight would be Jerry versus Elaine. You know?
All right. Yeah, you got your openers, features, and headliners.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
No one's ever synthesized it that fast. That was great.
Thank you. And you're welcome. Exactly.
You can see the zeros and ones. It's great.
Yeah. We do, it's video game rules, so old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever.
Is that
needs
what
to
video
happen.
Game rules means?
Boy, that's the video games I'm playing.
That's the wow. In the real world, old people can fight gay people too.
Like, sure. Yeah,
that's more political.
It's just our way of saying, you know, anything goes here on the island. It's like an arcade cabinet. The violence of the island is more about sports than it is about any vendettas or meanness.
Yeah. Chun-Li can
fight
Guile.
That's what the guy hunting me said too.
Chun-Li can fight Guile. Yes.
Okay.
But boy, Guile. We got to talk about the
haircut. He's the least fun Street Fighter because he's a troop. everyone else is a fun thing and he's in the army. Lame.
Well, they're all like a troop with a twist. Like they're a fighter of some kind with like a theme and he's just like
He's the most straightforward kind of troop. That's why he's not fun.
Who's your go-to? Who's your go-to Street Fighter?
Allison?
Chun-Li. Wait. Chun-Li. Is she Chun-Li? Is she Street Fighter? I don't know the difference.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Like Raul Julia in the movie.
Yes.
As M Bison, the very fun name change accident.
Totally. That's a true thing, huh? Mm-hmm. The movie has some of the weirdest little moments that I absolutely love. Like, it's a terrible movie, mm-hmm. and what a weird one for Raul Julia to be like, okay, I'm gonna die now. This is my legacy.
Later.
Later. But I do have a weird soft spot for that movie. Okay, but I digress. Here we go. We're gonna start it off. Lightweight fictional chefs. Who are some lightweight fictional chefs? When I say to you, lightweight fictional chef, please.
Ratatouille.
Lightweight. I love it.
In stature, weight, and the amount of brain space he takes up.
I think he might be a middleweight in terms
you
of
think,
stature.
You think Ratatouille is brain?
He's the preeminent middleweight, like all kids think of as a chef.
I'm not a kid. Interesting. I'm a 35-year-old.
Fair enough.
I was
who's
like
currently
paying
being
bills
controlled
when
by
Ratatouille
a rat.
Came out. Like he has not taken up a ton.
I wish a rat would control me so I could just get some sleep.
What a dream, though.
Right? Getting piloted or getting mech warrior around.
I could be asleep the whole time.
I think that happens in the movie, right? Yeah. It's demonstrated that Ratatouille has that kind of power. Interesting. Okay, Sam, who are some other lightweights?
I mean, for examples for the pod, we'll say if we're fighting Seinfeld, it's Soup Nazi versus Jay Peterman as a lightweight.
The Soup Nazi
is a lightweight fictional chef.
Interesting. What's the word I'm looking for? Not obnoxious, but he's like a feisty character too.
Yeah.
He could bring the thunder you one feel.
Yeah, he's got a lot of anger.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He's seething with rage. He's not angry, Sam. He suffers for his soup.
That's true.
But would he be angry? He's like, is his anger a function of his being a New Yorker? If you took him out of New York and away from all those annoying New Yorkers ordering his soup the wrong way, Sure. Would his anger...
These are questions we would get to if we fight him.
Does it travel to Fight Island?
I think the rage comes with you. It's like at the end of Ghost, the rage, you keep it with you. So I like that. I like the Soup Nazi. Soup Nazi feels right in that kind of lightweight pocket. I'm trying to think of some others. I'm wondering if
Suki from Gilmore Girls is pretty lightweight.
Yeah, I'm wondering if people who are known to like to cook in other shows, like a Niles Crane.
Yeah,
you know,
is, he's
Monica Geller,
chef. Monica,
she's a chef.
Monica's great, and she's kind of a lightweight because when we think of Monica, we don't immediately go chef. Obviously,
we just go technically chef. Yeah,
we go, oh yeah, and she's a chef.
Monica?
I don't, at least. Monica from Friends.
Oh.
What if you'd never heard of Friends?
I've heard of it, but I never like watched it. I didn't know that they had like jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you're telling me they have jobs and last names?
Every one of them has a dream job.
Yes.
And they have incredible apartments that you couldn't afford with three of you being soap opera actors. And they're just doing fine. But one of them is a chef.
Okay.
But of course I think she's disqualified if Allison doesn't.
I could do a whole separate podcast on Allison not having seen Friends.
I've seen one episode, but it was in the Dominican Republic and it was in Spanish. So like,
what is happening?
This is,
what Allison, kind of CIA op are you? What kind of brain wipe happened?
I'm black. We didn't watch that. Like,
that wasn't on in the house.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for the Street Fighter movie because I saw it in Mexico in a theater where the lights were on. The first time I ever saw it, the lights were on. We saw the second half first, the first half second. It was in Spanish with English subtitles. One of the top three movie going experiences of my life. I was given a beer.
That's amazing. Wait, second half first. Were they just like rolling it like old timey style?
Well, when we came in, it was the intermission because they do intermissions at this movie palace.
Very old timey style.
And the guys we were with were just like, it's fine. It's fine. We'll see the other half afterward. And we were like, but that kind of sucks. And they were like, here's a beer. And we were like, yes.
Here's a beer. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick.
It was incredible.
I love it.
Okay. I like the Soup Nazi. I like Monica, but she's, you know, too much of a blind spot. I'm disqualifying her. Who was the other one that you said, Sam?
I don't know if I said another one.
Now what about in Ratatouille? What's the name? Simone? Is that the character's
guy?
Name? No, there's a woman who works in the kitchen.
With the little like room bike.
Yes, with the scooter.
Janine Garofalo. Yeah. I don't know her character's name.
Yes. Big Janine Garofalo vibes.
Was she... did she count as a chef? Because I thought when they were pointing out who everybody is, there's only like one like chef in that kitchen. The rest are like...
What about Chef from South Park?
Okay.
Isaac Hayes, Chef.
Okay.
That's very lightweight.
It feels lightweight.
Can't be mad at that.
It is his name, but he's not taking up a lot of space. I'm not thinking about him very often.
Are we counting lunch ladies as chefs? Because then the school chef opens up a whole...
Sure, absolutely.
Lunch lady Doris.
Oh, yeah.
All the cafeteria workers from Abbott Elementary.
Holy moly. Lunch lady Doris versus chef from South Park? That's...
Ooh.
Like, that's got to be it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
Yeah,
that's a great lightweight.
All right, locking it in. So the question before us, who would win in a fight between Chef from South Park and Lunch Lady Doris from The Simpsons?
Oh, man.
And, yeah, okay. Now, Lunch Lady Doris, I feel it comes down to this. Lunch Lady Doris feels like a fighter. Chef is a lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Lunch Lady Doris has been to prison, I feel.
She's so burly.
Yes, if only to work. Like her other job, I think it's established at a certain point that she also works at the prison.
Gig's a gig.
Does it feel it's like if this weren't Fight Island, that they would really be each other's type?
Yeah.
Like, weirdly, like, it feels like a very romantic matchup.
Spinoff podcast, Love Island. Rank your OTPs.
Nothing's called that.
There's a distinct chance that they hooked up the night before in the hotel, you know? Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize. They were like, oh, no. Oh, this is the card? I can't believe it. And but it's like they understand that this is Fight Island and they're like, we have to throw it down. Mm-hmm. We have to throw it down.
That's a beautiful rom-com idea, too.
I know.
Like, we got to fight. Oh, no, it's you.
Kidnapped to that planet that Hulk was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he has to fight in that pit. And then they fall in love in that weird.
They met on the orgy yacht. And
yes, exactly.
Aww. I want that.
Yeah,
to
so I think honestly, I think there is a level of emotional of emotion. There's an emotional fraughtness to this one.
Doris seems like the kind of person who could like put that behind her and get the job done.
Yes, yes. As does Chef, quite honestly. He seems I could see him being like I offered you loving that you'd never know, but you threw it back at me. And if it has to be like this, it has to be. Thunder crashes, you know, shirt comes off. He's got, like, that big male medallion.
Can Chef turn into a robot? As I'm...
My mental Rolodex is full of pictures.
Was there something in, like, an early South Park season where he turned into, like, an Ultraman type?
Yeah.
I think he does in the later ones. I think, like, off paper, I think what happened
It's post-Scientology.
Was... Chef, yes, was post-Scientology. So he left the show because they did that show about Scientology. And they did another episode with, like, using dialogue that they had already recorded with Chef. And they were like, he's got a chip in his head. He's gone. They scrambled his brains. Mm. And I think at the end of that one, he, like, something happens where he transmutes.
Yeah.
And becomes some kind of...
Does he poochie back to his planet or something?
Something like that.
Fully poochie. Poochied him out of there.
You're poochied. I think Doris would poochie Chef. She beat his ass back to Xenu. What's the planet that they... Nibiru?
What is the planet?
Isn't it Xenu?
Nibiru. I think you're right.
Wow.
I think you're right.
But I've
Most
never
of
seen
my knowledge
Friends.
Of Mormonism comes from The Expanse.
Now I get now
Who
I get
are Joey and Chandler.
That...
Anyway, I got to talk about this planet.
Listen.
Good Lord.
I grew up not 5 miles from where no. But close enough Hill Cumorah is near my hometown. That's where like the Angel Moroni came out of a hill in upstate New York, and everyone was like, what are you doing here? He's like, upstate New York is where it's happening.
Oh, that's weirdly the plot of Friends season 7, so.
You gotta watch it.
Matthew Perry fat season.
The Moroni season? That was a weird one. Where were we? Oh, yeah. I gotta say, Lunch Lady Doris is giving me... My gut says Lunch Lady Doris. I think Chef rips his shirt off. Lunch Lady Doris does the same. She's covered in tattoos.
Yes.
She's still smoking, like, okie dokie. Just hits him with an okie dokie and goes in ladle first. There's very little meat in these gym mats, you know? Like, yeah. She doesn't give any kind of a fuck.
Yeah.
She's got a back tattoo of tally marks. You don't know what they're for.
Yeah.
You don't know what she was counting.
Are they Salisbury steaks? Are they men she's fucked? Let's find out.
Yeah.
Men she's fucked to death.
Are they both?
Yeah, she could.
Yeah.
Golden
Doris does seem so much more hardened. And because when I think of her, I think of her from Treehouse of Horror. That's the Doris I go to.
Yeah.
Is making Utterbrotten. Yeah.
Yes.
Utterbrotten. Great pull. Wow. But you gotta say, I've seen Chef
fight?
Save the day. I've seen him fight. I've seen him love. I've seen him save the day with both. And I got to make sure that I'm checking to make sure that my own opinion of Scientology isn't affecting my opinion of the character chef.
And his ability to fight a lunch lady.
He's bringing too much nuance to the ring. Like, he's got a lot of other stuff going on. He's like, is she fighting me because I, like, did that thing last night? Like, he's going to be way too in his head about it.
He's got a tender heart, doesn't he? At the end of the day.
Thetans.
He's full of thetans, this guy.
She fucked all the thetans into him. And then she punched the thetans out. He went clear.
Here, have my thetans. And she shoots thetans
at him. All right, kid.
Oh, no. I'm getting thetan. The thetan ray. It's a powerful move. Down, diagonal, forward.
The thetan ray and the e-meter. My two fists.
That's a good fist name.
Tom Cruise fighting some craft services guy.
I think I'm giving it. I'm locking in a vote for Lunch Lady Doris. She's just too, you know, she feels like she's got knuckle calluses.
Hard.
From fighting.
Agree. Yeah.
Hard agree. That's two for Lunch Lady
I'll cast a dissenting vote just because I think it should be closer than a clean sweep.
Okay.
And
I think you're right.
That's more the reason. But also, Chef is like, he can be like more omnipresent just as like a main character. Mm-hmm. He maybe understands the score, where Lunch Lady Doris is kind of singularly minded, and maybe he, you know, takes advantage of like that she can't really comprehend what's happening. Like, he's also maybe singing and dancing.
Using
kind of Deadpool powers to.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So Chef has saved the world.
He's got a lot of musical numbers.
He sees the big picture.
Yeah.
Whereas Lunch Lady Doris is here for, she's not here for a long time. She's here for a tough time.
Yeah.
She's here for a couple of good gags to whoop ass and be the lightweight champ of this round.
She's using giant kitchen thing to undo a can of whoop ass.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Grade A, grade F whoop ass.
Oh my God.
There's a picture of a donkey on the can. Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Lunch Lady Doris takes it.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Middleweight fictional chefs. Now, I'd like to throw, and he's maybe a heavyweight, Swedish Chef, the Muppet.
Yes.
Swedish Chef is a great middleweight chef.
Orty Bordy Gordy.
he's a singular force. There's never been a Swedish Chef imitator where someone was like, I can be that puppet who only talks in slang and has one thing where he's a chef.
Never seen his like again. He is of a certain class of Muppets that freaks me out, which is the ones that look a little like people.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was like there's the human hands fuck me up, but like,
yep, that's Bingo bango.
Okay, because I thought you were making it about like the approximation of humanity.
Well, it is definitely that. Like, okay, so like Rolf has the human hands, and I'm okay.
Okay.
Like, that's fine. That's Rolf. He needs them to play the piano.
He needs those hands.
But the Swedish chef, even though he needs them to make his Swedish recipes, there's something about it is the approximation. You're right. It's like you were once a man, Swedish chef, and something happened to you. You were hit by the thetan ray.
He got hit in the face and it got all the way down just to his hands. They stayed human.
Yeah. Oh, God. What if below the belt buckle, the Swedish chef is just a person?
Honestly, good for him.
Like, hey, we've done enough Fight Island episodes where we got to the concept of Swedish Chef with a man's penis.
an incredible calf.
And I think that's out? I think that's it. I think we finished the pod today.
But how is the penis at holding a knife?
That's for another podcast.
Boy, okay. Swedish chef, presumably not with a human bottom half and penis and muscular legs.
He could fuck up Ratatouille, but...
I would like to bring Ratatouille back into the...
This feels right.
Yeah.
Back into the middleweight category. Ratatouille... Now, Ratatouille feels like a bit of a... a bit of a two-in-one entity. You're getting Ratatouille and what's his name? What's
the Mark kid's Zuckerberg. Name? Mark
Zuckerberg. Jesse Eisenberg. I always get those mixed up.
What are their names? Remy is the rat.
And Linguini is the boy.
Linguini is the boy. You're getting Linguini and Remy, who together join forces to become the unstoppable cooking force of Ratatouille.
Maybe you're right about Ratatouille taking up more of my brain than I initially gave.
I fucking told you.
I think at least middle is a good spot for Ratatouille.
Yeah.
I honestly like this. Swedish Chef versus Ratatouille seems like an insanely apt throwdown.
Same league.
And there's something puppety about both of them.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Right? Okay. Okay, I'm going to lock it in. So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between the Swedish Chef of Muppet fame and Ratatouille, the cat-dog-like entity of both Linguini and Remy that come together?
Okay, right off the bat, a point of comparison is that Remy is puppet-mastering a human man.
Yes.
Who has a more intuitive understanding of how that fighter moves than an actual puppet?
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the Swedish Chef has insight into the movement
into
of a puppet,
the delay
of a puppeteer.
Between pull and arm movement. Yeah. Swedish Chef goes, I understand how long that takes. I'm going to slide throwing a full fish in
that's
his face before
point.
He can get there or he dodging looked, various blows. Point. It's just a point in
yeah, he looks at Ratatouille favorite. And Linguini and just sees like matrix numbers. Like,
yeah,
he knows
that's
everything
what I think
that's going on.
Gordy gord kung fu. I would watch that.
Absolutely.
In a
also, Ratatouille only really knows how to cook. Like he didn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't reading like Sun Tzu's The Art of War. Like he was
that's
only
true.
Reading that one cookbook.
I assume that's kind of true of the chef though too.
We
can
what
only
he
assume
does in his free time with his human dick.
He's also older. He seems like he's been, you know, kitchens are messed up places. You know how many guys would in prison in kitchens have also been to prison? Like more than half.
True.
Like
okay, I'm gonna Google Swedish Chef action figure.
Oh, like,
no,
his legs.
I want to see how his whole body is interpreted by artists, and he kind of looks. Yeah, okay, so he kind of just has dad pants on.
Dad pants, not even like the Czechy chef pants.
No, well, they're Czechy, but they're not chef pants. No, they're like dad jammies. But yeah, okay. Sort of a George Costanza.
Incredible that there is that Swedish Chef action figure returns a ton of results. This is wild.
Sure. I'm not
what
I will
a time
not
to
be
alive.
I will not be the one who does that razor thin Google to find out what Swedish Chef's dick looks like. If you want to do it. And get back to us. We do have a Discord.
Hold on. Let me go get my work computer.
Work.
Oh, look at all the little pants he comes with.
I know, right? It's a delight. I'm getting into Statler and Waldorf action figures down here. This is a different. I just need to buy these now.
You know how sometimes you just forget for a second what we're talking about, and then I thought you were going to be like, I'm getting really into Statler and Waldorf. The end. That's just the thing I'm into now. So
just in real time,
fashion icons, investment, all of that.
Okay, point two, and this is going to seal my vote for Swedish Chef. He has a million tools. He has 1,000 implements in a big...
Yeah, but so does Ratatouille.
Sure, but like, Swedish Chef's thing is throwing stuff in a pot or throwing it out. Shit. He's got that throwing action, and I just think that works, especially for thinking video game rules. That's a great power.
He throws knives all over
wrenches.
The place.
Ratatouille's only talent is boots. He, like, tastes things good. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to... See, I feel like Ratatouille is an unexplored... I mean, imagine... Okay, so this is a thing that... I would like to throw this scenario at you. This is one of the first things I imagined. So, Ratatouille runs at Swedish Chef. Orty, borty, gork, gork. Throws, let's say, a pot at his face. Hits Linguini right in the face, knocking him unconscious, but he doesn't fall down. Remy the Rat pulls his hair up. He has another life. Because we've seen him operate unconscious.
Okay.
You can't knock him down. He's got to get to the rat under the hat. And I don't know.
Killing rats is like Chef's favorite thing. Going to jail. Bossing people around.
Yes.
Chopping the tail off a rat.
Yeah.
Chasing Sebastian Crab.
Getting a tattoo of a big sandwich they made once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Full sleeve tats.
Full sleeve tats of different of like a groceries a little kid would have in a playset.
Yeah,
sure. T-bone steak, banana, tomato.
I got to pitch a vote in here for Ratatouille. I think Ratatouille is you're technically fighting, you know, two entities, and one of them is incredibly quick and clever and knows how to use the other one's body like a glove, like a demonic possession.
Glove. Oh, that's so visceral.
Oh, we're getting, we opened with Swedish Chef's human dick. I think we're probably way past everything.
I think, Danny, if you can slip that into the hashtags, Swedish Chef's human dick.
Swedish Chef's human dick. Swedish Chef's human dick.
Somebody's definitely searching.
Ooh, the
for
domain
that.
Name's available.
Ooh, put Thetan in too. Let's get that. Let's get that slice of the Venn diagram.
Let's get those eyeballs on us.
I think that Ratatouille can pull it off. I think that the Swedish Chef is not cunning enough to know that you have to fight the rat under the hat, and he's gonna make mincemeat out of Linguini's poor body for sure, full of knives and chickens. But he just keeps coming and then, you know, slashes him up, beats him up.
Okay.
Allison, you're the deciding vote, middleweight.
I think the Swedish Chef can pull it out.
Swedish Chef.
He's got the hand dexterity.
He's got like hands.
Like he's dad bod shaped. However, like, thinking about like the way he would move just feels very like spidery and like low and like capoeira-y.
Yes.
There is something about being a Muppet that increases your like dexterity.
You got extra joints.
Yeah. In a scary kind of way. I see it. Yeah. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Swedish Chef, the middleweight champion of Fight Island fictional chefs. I see it.
Get to wave the Swedish flag after.
Yeah.
Sing Hail on Gore.
He probably takes his shirt off and has, like, again, all of those tattoos. What is he singing? What was that?
Hail on Gore. It's like a... I'm pronouncing it wrong, but Swedish people love singing it when they're drunk.
Nice. Nice. And then it's revealed that he's been drunk this whole time.
That's why he talks like that. You thought it was because he's Swedish? Wow, xenophobic much?
And then he sobers up. Yeah, and he sounds like Frasier.
He's a lost Skarsgård brother. Like,
I actually, weirdly enough, followed like the seventh Skarsgård.
There are so many of those goddamn guys around.
Yeah, yeah. He's a funny Twitter follow too. Good. He's like a goof around guy.
Which one is it? Balder?
I can't remember.
I think it's Balder. I think it is Balder.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's like one of the younger guys who like sometimes gets looped into articles with them.
Yeah.
And he has to like, he like retweets them and is like, once again, not me. I am not an actor and I don't do any
I'm just a fucking guy.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Okay.
I got the joke name and now I'm here.
Okay.
They all got real names. I'm Balder.
Yeah. His name is Pubert. It's very hilarious. Okay.
Stellan right. Alexander Pubert.
Here it is. The fight that everybody's been waiting for all year. The heavyweight fictional chefs. And Allison, you mentioned someone who I might have been a middleweight, but I think we would be remiss if we got out of here without talking about the chef from The Little Mermaid.
What?
Who loves to kill and eat crab. Like, not only does he seem to enjoy being a chef, he seems to revel in the act of murder.
That's how you know you're good at chefing.
Yeah. Okay, this is the show, yeah. Friends, but to Allison, where I have no idea what
mermaid,
this is.
You're like, what yeah. the fuck?
Whoa.
I mean, I know what The Little Mermaid is, but I don't remember there being a chef. I don't think I've seen it in 25 years.
Oh my God, you need to do yourself a favor. His name is Chef Louis. Watch the scene.
He's the royal chef.
Sebastian the Crab and Chef Louis face off. I think there's a song happening the whole time about being like
manners.
What is it?
Or something?
Oh,
yeah. I don't know.
Okay, he does like look like how you would draw a big fat evil chef.
He also looks chef. Just like the evil chef guy from Ratatouille.
From yes. Ratatouille, who's another chef that I was
like,
going to bring
comically
up.
Short.
What a type.
Mm-hmm.
I would like mm-hmm. to bring up my heavyweight chef.
Please.
Hannibal Lecter.
Nice.
A gourmand.
A not gourmand, a, like, if ever there was one.
He's a chef by training, not by trade. But like, yeah. I feel yeah. like the psychology degree helps him with
he's
the chefing.
Doing it
yeah.
For the love of the game.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Have you watched Hannibal on NBC? The like.
I haven't seen it.
It was canceled after like 3 or 4 seasons, but Gillian Anderson is in it. Mads Mikkelsen Incredible. Is Hannibal. And the cooking sequences are straight up pornographic.
Amazing.
It's so good.
I love that Incredible. As a heavyweight. I think that's very fun.
I didn't know that about that show. You're the second person to mention that there are these amazing cooking scenes. Just and
breathtaking.
That's exactly my shit. Have you ever seen Samurai Gourmet?
No.
Samurai Gourmet is amazing. I will recommend it every chance I get to everyone. It's on Netflix most of the time. There's another one called Kantaro, Sweet Tooth Salaryman, which is like Samurai Gourmet, but somewhat crazier in sometimes a scary way.
Sweet Tooth Salaryman. What was the second one?
Yeah. Kantaro, Sweet Tooth Salaryman.
Okay.
Yeah. They're incredible. It's these very weird, like food... dramedies, Japanese food dramedies.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And they're amazing. The cooking
you have no
so
idea
cool.
the extent to which that is my shit.
Yes.
I'm like, how do yes. I mix Samurai my historical rom-com K-dramas with cooking yes. videos on TikTok? Here's how.
This is it. Absolutely. Perfect. I'm trying to get everybody into it so they have to just make nothing but that on Netflix.
Just give me what I want, Netflix.
Okay, so I think Louis's got to be out, right, Sam?
Too much of a blind spot, I think.
I like Hannibal Lecter. Who are you thinking? What about...
I've got one.
Go ahead.
More of a chocolatier, but Willy Wonka.
Ooh,
as diabolical as Hannibal Lecter,
yeah.
I think. And
my God,
that's
it's a real
perfect.
Match. It's a real match of wits, I think, with those two.
That's very
oh,
good.
I love that.
That's very good.
Just Georgia, two insane rich guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
fighting
it's
for
it's
my entertainment.
That, right?
What a yeah. gift!
Yeah. It's gotta be that, right? I was gonna drop Chef Boyardee.
Yes,
but the whole time I. Again, I've been dancing around the fact that Chef Boyardee
is a guy.
Real guy. So
you keep telling me he's a real guy, but I don't think he's a real guy.
He's a real guy. He was like in some way important in the political scene in New York and had something to do with like canning law or something. I don't know.
Like sun tanning law or
canning.
That makes spaghetti. Way more sense.
Yeah. His spaghetti was initially a tanner. It was a strange tanning lotion that
throw it on some beef, repackaged. Turns it into leather.
Great.
That yeah, tracks with how salty it is.
I can't remember if he was like a good guy or a full on like Kellogg's tyrant or something, but I remember being fascinated by Chef Boyardee's secret life. Real onion, that guy. A real meatball, you know, layers. I love this. So I'm going to go ahead and lock it in. So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Hannibal Lecter and Willy Wonka? Which, boy.
God, I genuinely don't know. But I'm going to say Hannibal just because, like, I suggested him.
Right, right.
I got to go with my date, with the guy I brought.
You're dancing with the one what brung
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so hit me with some of Hannibal's strengths and weaknesses and why you think.
Okay, he is I'm going to condense all of this from, like, Hannibal and the, like, larger sure. Thomas Harris first to...
Cross-canon.
NBC's Hannibal, as portrayed okay. by Mads Mikkelsen, correct. Can fight. He
great.
Gets in, like, a full-on fucking fight with Lawrence Fishburne, who's, like, twice his okay. size, and wins? Yeah. Maybe fight, doesn't man. Win? I don't remember. It's the season Eats one him. Finale. I'll leave it to y'all. But, like, sure. can fight, knows his way around a knife, knows how to get rid mm-hmm. of a body, which is, like, arguably mm. the most important part of killing people.
Sure.
And, like...
You gotta eat it.
He has killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't a guy that pulls his punches. He's going for the kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he is, at the end of the day, he has very little remorse for his victims.
Zero.
Which I think leads the average person, the non-psychopath cannibal, to, even if it's someone you fully hate, at the last minute you might pull something back just because it's another person. Yeah. But someone without that, boy, if you're sending them in and you're on Fight Island and you're like, now the job is to win, they're going to be like, then I will smash with a brick.
He's like, how many knives come up break and like pulls yeah, them all out until
victory comes out. Now, what about weaknesses? What are Hannibal's weaknesses?
Well, he is a psychopath.
He is a psychopath.
That is
so
his
he can...
weakness. In that,
sure.
And he does get caught. I mean, there's a reason he's in jail.
He's in that jail.
Yeah.
But he gets out.
When they asked me, Will Graham, how'd you catch him? He said, I let him kill me. Would Willy Wonka do that?
He wouldn't, would he? Willy Wonka would. Quite frankly, Willy Wonka is a somewhat selfish person, and which makes me think.
Who's Willy? Like, does Willy Wonka have the same power without
the factory?
Without, yeah, home field advantage, his minions.
Well, now, I think in favor of Willy Wonka, here are some, I think, strengths. Allow me to say,
loves killing
if I may.
Kids.
Is a ruthless businessman. Has a squad of Oompa Loompas who clean up his messes almost as they have.
Does
happen,
he get to bring them know? Into the ring though?
No, but I imagine they're there, cheering him on. Fucking.
Maybe it becomes a little pro wrestling where they're kind of distracting, you know, the referee. Or
I think okay. I think they're like fucked up on chocolate milk from the river. They've like brought that. And they're all
it tastes like German
partying.
Boy.
Udabrotten. Udabrotten. Yeah.
Comes full circle.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah, I think he is a shrewd, ruthless businessman. He's got these kids, you know, these are the kids that we know about who died in the factory. Nobody ever yeah. goes in, nobody ever comes out. He has the mind of a madman, a mad genius. You know, he has the most important element of genius, which is imagination, famously according mm-hmm. to the Ein Man. That's what I call him, Einstein. Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand's husband is that it's like first lady Ein Man.
Yes, Ein Man. I think that he, you're right, some of his power is taken away when he's not on that home field advantage, but we have to remember that he has these strange candies that he's built. The Everlasting Gobstopper. Exploding candy for your exploding gum for your enemies.
Yeah.
That weird thing that that shrinks the kid. My God. He could turn him into a blueberry.
In terms of just chef stuff.
Sure.
He's got a little James Bond to him.
A little James Bond. Indeed. Go ahead, Allison.
Okay. Evil genius. Yeah, whatever. Great sure. businessman. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal
mm-hmm.
Lecter, mm-hmm. when he's not chefing around in his beautiful kitchen. It like on the show, it's so good. It like it's got blue I'm walls. Really it's fucking great. When he's not doing that, he's a licensed psychiatrist who is treating the FBI agent wow. searching for him. Like, he can talk anybody into anything.
Yeah.
He convinces people to kill for him.
He convinced that guy in the movie to kill himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they can't, like, put him near other
yeah,
people.
Yeah, because the Migs with the tongue. Like, yeah, all he has to do is, like, go in and be like, "Very nice to meet you, Mr. Wonka," and, like, go in and be like, "Your mother." And then
Willy Wonka's gonna, like, yeah,
fucking wreck boy. Himself.
Yeah, and if anyone has himself. If anyone has a bunch of probably mental hangups, it's Willy Wonka.
Oh yeah,
but is Willy Wonka the type? Is there a chance that Willy Wonka is also a psychopath, and his psychopathy presents itself in not the murdering outright of children, but just the complete. Unfeelingness toward the how many deaths it requires to make the candy specialties that he requires.
I think I'm voting Wonka, and I by a hair.
Wow.
And it's that
please
Hannibal,
tell me why you're wrong.
I don't feel very right,
honestly. I feel bad about putting Willy Wonka in here with him.
Hannibal
why would I do this to this man?
I love Gene Wilder.
Oh no, it's not him. It's not Gene Wilder.
It's the Johnny Depp
no,
one.
No.
That changes
it's
everything.
Johnny Depp one.
Oh,
that changes Johnny everything. Depp one. Johnny Depp
if it's Johnny Depp, are you still voting for him?
No.
what was your reasoning?
Yeah, okay, so my reasoning for Willy Wonka is Hannibal is driven by these, like, ultimately very animalistic desires. He wants mm-hmm. control and food and to eat people, whatever.
Sure.
Willy Wonka is very good at manipulating your sense of taste. He is a chef in this way. He is maybe there's a chance he can leverage something like, wow. "Hey, I made an FBI agent flavored candy. Do you want it?"
Hannibal would love that. That's like his favorite thing.
He's enjoying it. He's taking a bite of this treat. This Willy Wonka gets a cane up to the side of his skull. He's done.
This is literally the only thing that this is the trump card I was looking for from Willy Wonka. He can make a candy so sumptuous. Like, I made it just for you. It's got all of your favorites in it, Hannibal. It's got to taste like FBI agent and a little bit of lamb and some fava beans and Chianti. And then he gives it to him, and he won't even need to cane him upside the head because, as usual, he's baked in some horrible fucking flaw, and it makes Hannibal's you know, skin turn into fruit roll-ups or something. Awful.
Yeah, I feel like Hannibal would respect that too.
Would Hannibal?
He would maybe go out like, "All right,
yeah,
I've been bested, and this Here's is my end."
Okay, so that's one vote for Willy. I'm gonna go ahead and cast my vote for Hannibal Lecter because, at the end of the day, Hannibal is not going to touch that treat. I don't think his curiosity is enough that he would be like, he's already thinking five steps ahead. He's like, but I could kill you and just have all of the treats and the recipe, you know?
Yeah. If you served it to him at a dinner party, he'd be like, "Oh, delicious. Perhaps. Oh no, I've been bested." Uh-huh. But like, if you're in a ring.
Fight Island.
If you're on Fight Island, you know, like he knows what he's there
It would
for.
Have to be a treat so sumptuous that only like a weak of mind person would fall to it. And I don't think that that's Hannibal. I think that my vote is for Hannibal, which Allison leaves you as once again the deciding vote. And I think we know who you're voting for.
My guy, HL.
That's HL. Hannibal Lecter takes it. Ding, ding, ding. He has killed and eaten the candy-like flesh from William H. Wonka. The H stands for Heath. Heath. Allison, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us
for having
this
me.
Week on Fight Island and for sticking with us after my house was struck by a strange power outage. That may have been an EMP, an attack from the sun.
Or Havana syndrome, we don't know.
Or a ghost. Ghosts like to
It's a ghost
drain.
Of Jack Parsons coming for you.
Exactly. Where can people find you on the internet and beyond?
They can
Allison?
Find me on the internet at Allison-Mick. That's Allison-Mick. On, wait. That's not right at all. I'm sorry.
Danny, rewind it. Danny.
This is the weirdest blooper of all time.
That's the website. I'm so sorry. Okay.
That was for someone else.
Okay. People can find me at Allison_Mick on Instagram and Twitter. I'm funnier on Twitter than I am on Instagram. Allison-Mick.com or... My a project that just came out that I was a part of is the Los Suelos, California Internet Multimedia Fiction Anthology. It's LOSSUELOS.com. There's a game. There's music. It's like a little RPG. There's a bunch of art and fiction. It's fucking great. Check it out. And all the proceeds go to the California Rural Legal Assistance Program.
Hell yeah. Very cool. Definitely go check out all of that stuff. Sam, how about you? Where are you at these days?
As always, follow me on Twitter at @VoteSamWiles. Follow me on Instagram at @SamWiles. I also have a fiction piece in this month's Bodega magazine. Check it out. It's an online magazine, and it's fun. And I just posted some art for a friend of the pod, Mike Lloyd. Second pod in a row he's come up. Made some cool art for it.
I saw the picture and immediately wanted to read the story, which is what good story art should do. Hell yeah. Anything else?
Cool. And rate review the
give
pod.
Give us 5 stars. We want your stars. You're not doing anything with them. Fork them over. Mm-hmm. Dig into the back of the freezer. Get those old stars out.
Fight you.
Or we will fight you.
We'll fight you.
If you'd like to fight us, hit up our Patreon where you can hurl insults at us to your heart's content, and we will still thank you for supporting the show. You get some extra content. We're trying to commit to 2 eps a month of a little something that we call Scuffle Peninsula, which is kind of our miniature Fight Island named so by a friend of the pod. Who was it? Who came up with that? Kyle Ayers, friend of the pod. That's right. Kyle Prime Video. I am Razor Lou all over the place. I'm on the Twitch. I've been playing a lot of that Pokemon that just came out. And soon I'm going to be doing a full playthrough of Elden Ring that I'm very excited about. So if you're excited about that shit too, if you're a gigantic deep nerd like I am, come get frustrated at video games with me. And then laugh about it. I think that does it for another episode of Fight Island. Once again, thank you to Allison Mick for joining us. Sam, why don't you count us down there, pal?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.